Everyone, today we are going to take a close look at the jobs in modern cloud clusters. So over the past decade, we have seen the evolution of many data processing frameworks. And at the outset, for example, for the Hadoop, typically a job only consists of two stages with an auto self link between them. And in Spark, it allows the user to specify some data transformations applied to a data set, and it will compile that program into a job tag. And one Spark has been extended to some other problem domains, such as machine learning or graph processing. The complexity of those jobs, job tags have just exploded. Like it will become more iterative or more irregular in those cases. So this will pose severe challenges for those cluster schedulers, because for those schedulers, they have to select which task to execute or decide how much resource to allocate to each job. And just imagine there are thousands of complex jobs running on the cluster, and it may need to track thousands of tasks that are executed concurrently and also belong to different stages, so it will be a very different task to perform. So, as a scheduler designer, we want to know, is there anything special about those job tags so that we can exploit them to optimize our schedulers? However, we don't have a satisfactory answer from the current literature, because for now, people just vaguely describe those production tags as large and complex, so without much meaningful information. So we have set out to find out our own answer. So a prerequisite to answer this question is we need to gather a large set of production tags. And fortunately, we have managed a chance in the year of 2018, where the Alibaba company has released a cluster trace. So it has been hosted on GitHub, and everyone interested can access the link. So in this trace, it spans 8 days, and it records the activity from a cluster of over 4,000 machines. And in this trace, it includes both long-running containers and batch jobs. But since we are only interested in the job tags they are in, so we will zoom in on those batch jobs. So for each job in that trace, it consists of some tasks, and there are some dependencies among them. For each task, it will have some instances that process some partition of that data set. So in this trace, it has in total over 4 million jobs, 14 million tasks, and over 1 billion instances. So such scale gives us some confidence in our validity of our conclusions. But there is one caveat here. So those jobs, most of them actually are some SQL queries. This is decided by the company, because Alibaba is an e-commerce company, so they have done some many data analytics. So our conclusions are basically for those SQL queries. If you want to extend them to something like machine learning clusters or some high-performance computing clusters, you have to do that with some caution. So let's first have some high-level view of those stacks, tag jobs. So on the left side, I have shown at each time point how many jobs are running on that cluster. So here are two. I have separated the dependent jobs, that is the job with a tag of dependencies from other batch jobs. And as we can see, those tag jobs actually account for almost half of the batch jobs. And on the right side, I've shown the resource consumption of both type of jobs. And as we can see, in most of the time, the dependent jobs have grabbed almost all the resources in that cluster. So from these side-by-side figures, we can conclude that first, the tag jobs are actually very prevalent in today's clusters, and this is the reason why we want to study them. And sometimes they consume disproportionately many resources. So if we can make some optimization in scheduling those jobs, it can give us many benefits. Okay, so as the first step of our study, we manually scan through those topologies, those stacks in that trace, and we have found there are a lot of trees in that trace. For instance, over 78% of batch jobs are gather jobs. That is the job with a reversed tree-like shape. So similarly, over 36% of jobs are scatter jobs. That is the jobs with a top-down tree shape. And as some of you may have noticed, those two percentages actually add up to more than one. This is because our definition is kind of loose. For example, we allow a chain of tasks to be classified into both categories. This makes sense because a chain actually can be viewed as a special case of tree, and the tree is a special case for job scheduling. Because for the scheduling problem, we have designed some algorithms. And to schedule a job with a general graph constraint, it is actually an NP-hard problem. But if that constraint is in tree shape, then it has some tractable solution. So we think this tells us there are actually some opportunities now for the algorithmic scheduling. And even for those complex jobs that cannot be classified into two categories, we can do some pruning to make it into some trees. For example, on the right side, we can remove some dependencies and some tasks in the original job, and we are left with two trees. And even after those pruning and removal, we still can preserve 80% of tasks. So in to conclude, that is, most jobs in this trace are either scatter job or gather job, or they can be viewed as a composite of those two types of jobs. So we want to know whether this popularity of trees is a commonality among all the jobs, or whether it's a peculiarity of the specific trace. So we have introduced some comparison targets. First is the DAGs from the original trace. And then we find a uniformly random algorithm to generate those stack. So here, for each job in the original trace, we will randomly generate a job or a DAG with the same number of nodes. So the random DAGs and Alibaba DAGs, they have a one-to-one correspondence here. And furthermore, we grab the job DAGs from those two standard benchmarks, TPCDS and TPCH, for further comparison. So the first metric we look at is the edge density. That is, because for a DAG with V vertices, it at most can have like V times V minus 1 over 2 edges. So we want to know, over all those possible edges, how many of them are actually present in the job DAG. So one thing to notice here is the gap between the Alibaba DAG and the random DAG. So for the random DAGs, it has an edge density of about 0.5. So this is a result of the uniformness of that algorithm. But for those production jobs, it has much lower density, almost only half of the that of the random DAGs. So this has tell us the production DAGs are actually very sparse. And one reason behind such sparsity may be the prevalence of a specific type of task, that is the chain task. Because we have noticed there are many chains in those jobs. So we have computed a ratio, that is, for those tasks that has only one parent or child, we calculate the ratio among all the jobs. And as we can see, the Alibaba DAGs have extremely high chain ratios among all four data sets. So for these slides, the takeaway message is that the job DAGs are actually very sparse, and the possible reason is that they may have many chains in them. So we are also very curious about how those chain tasks will alter the DAGs if we look at the global distributions of the in and out degrees of all nodes. So here we plot the CDF of two types of degrees. So as we can see, for the out degree, the Alibaba trace, it's for most tasks therein, its out degree is typically very small. Specifically, over 99% of tasks have an out degree no more than 3. So on the contrary, for those random DAGs, over one-third of tasks that have of degree no less than 3. So in those production decks, each node does not have much children. However, for the in-degrees, they do not have such a feature. But one thing to notice is that for the in-degree, the Alibaba DAX, that is the orange curve, can reach the number of 200. And as a side note, the maximum number of tasks in this trace is also 200. So this means for some job, maybe there is some task that depends almost on all other tasks. So this is something that the scheduler designer needs to take care of. So the takeaway message from this slide is that a task can have many dependencies, but typically they will only have a few children. Now that we have seen several divergences among the aggregated statistics of those stacks, so we wonder what is the underlying structural difference that results in such divergence. So basically, we want to know how a production DAG would differ from a random DAG. So we characterized the shape of a DAG with two metrics. One is the maximum parallelism, the number of tasks that can be executed in parallel, and also one is the critical path length, the longest path in those stack. So intuitively, they characterize the length and the width of a DAG. So we want to know when the number of tasks increase, so how they would change, specifically for those two metrics. And as we can see here, those two figures are almost complementary to each other. That is, for example, if we look at the critical path lengths, the TPCDS, TPCH, and the Alibaba, they are on almost the same line. That is, even with more tasks, the critical path length does not increase that much. However, it's not the case for those random DAGs. Its path length almost increase linearly with their number of tasks. And the opposite applies to the max parallelism. That is, for those production DAGs, it will linearly increase. But the parallelism in those random DAGs is almost always bounded, no matter how many tasks they have. So to conclude, the production DAG grow wider instead of longer. And this actually conforms with the original intention of those processing frameworks, because we want to parallelize those computations. So the larger the parallelism is, the happier we are. OK, now that we have seen many structural properties of those dependencies, so the next question we want to address is how those dependencies would affect their runtime performance. So one critical aspect of our interest is the runtime variability, that is the variation of like duration or the resource usage, because if two tasks vary by a large extent in their duration, then maybe some of them is a straggler task that will prolong the execution of those jobs. And also, the uneven usage of those resources will result in resource fragmentation and lowering the utilization. So we want to know what's the influence of the dependencies on such variability, because supposedly the dependency should reduce such variability, because those dependent tasks, they have something in common. For example, they may share the same intermediate data, or they are executed in the same environment. So we want to study how variation would appear in this trace. And we focus on two cases. One is dependent pair, that is the parent-child pair. Another is dependent sets, that is a set of tasks that are indirectly dependent because they have a common child or a common parent. So we will compute the ratio of those tasks metrics and use it as an indication of their variation. So to contextualize, or to give you some background on the scale of these values. In the previous literature, a task with 8 times longer runtime will be considered as a severe straggler. So we can see here, no matter in the dependent pair, that is the top two figures, or the dependent set, the bottom two figures, there are a significant portion of tasks that vary by over 5 times. And those tasks are actually have some kind of dependencies. So, and further, as we can see in some point, the curve reached to the order of 10 to the power of 4. So this has told us, unfortunately, the dependency does not constrain the runtime variability, so we still have to consider those factors when we design schedulers for them. And furthermore, we narrow down our attention only to those recurrent jobs. This is important because many previous schedulers have leveraged the recurrency. They will use historical information as an estimate of the future like resource usage or the runtime duration. However, since most schedulers only tolerate a misestimation by only 100%, so if the two recurrent tasks varies by 2 times, then the scheduler may not work very well under this case. However, in our trace, we have selected those recurrent jobs by those standards, and we have computed the variation among those tasks that are recurrent. And we found over a half of them, they have some metrics that vary over 2 times, so which are not very good for today's schedulers. So this is a head up for those scheduler designers, because even the recurrent tasks can have high variability. So as I have shown, the variability of those dependent jobs, especially among those recurrent tasks, so it means there is still much more work for the schedule designers to do. And when they come up with some new idea about their scheduler, they may want to evaluate them with those DAGs. However, if they directly use the production DAG from the trace, then they may miss some corner case. So in order to provide a more controllable solution for them, we have proposed an algorithm for synthesizing those job DAGs. So it basically follows a three-step procedure. So we will first determine the critical path length of this DAG, then we decide how they would distribute those tasks along the path, and then we connect those tasks on adjacent levels. And if we have done some evaluation, which shows this synthesis algorithm can give you some similar result as the production trace, and they will yield a very similar results in real scheduling. So finally, we developed this synthesis algorithm into a full-fledged trace generator. So the scheduler designer did not need to manipulate the raw data with a size of over 200 gigabytes, and they can flexibly control the duration, the load, or the heterogeneity of the output trace. And it has been open sourced on the GitHub, and on the right is the QR code for the link. So to summarize, throughout this talk, we have shown some structural properties of those dependency DAGs, specifically the sparsity, the bounded critical path length, and the increase in parallelism. Also, we have seen something about the runtime performance, especially the variability. And finally, we have proposed and designed a trace generator for those scheduler designers. And this is all what I have today. Okay, thank you very much. And I'm here to take any question.
Questions?
So I was just wondering, like, mm-hmm. do you have any intuition about why those recurring jobs had such different characteristics in the end?
Oh, you mean the recurrence jobs?
Yeah, the recurrence jobs. Like, I guess their runtimes, Alibaba traces, mm-hmm. were they like run on the same machines, the same resources, for example? Are there, like, some underlying differences that aren't being accounted for, or is it something else?
Actually, for those recurrent jobs, for example, we can consider a concrete situation. For example, Alibaba is an e-commerce website. It has some daily transactions, and supposedly they have to count the total sum of the selling on their website. So every day, the selling will fluctuate. So just for example, we just have that shopping festival, the Double 11 festival, and on that day, it will like suddenly have much more records to process. And so even for those jobs, even if they are recurrent, but their data sets may be different. So they may even vary by a very large factor. So that's the reason why we will have this variability even among those recurrent tasks.